while, and Meg sighed. What was it with all the ma'ams? It was starting to make her feel old. She rubbed her eyes, wondering if it was really a good idea to see Gina while she was trying to recover from her injuries. But if she waited, Gina might decide she was ready to go back to work. Should she wait? Give herself an extra week before she went to visit so she could get a better handle on the retro crush, or whatever the hell it was? She didn't know. Damn it. She put her phone back in its holder on her belt and went to check in with Anna while Haley and Michelle did the initial meet and greet with her next patient. Chapter 16. The notes and paperwork Meg was accumulating for the nascent clinic project were making her eyes cross. She sat back in her desk chair and rubbed her eyes, then glanced at the clock on her computer. Her landline rang, and when she saw the ID, she groaned, but decided to answer anyway. "Hi, Mom." She hoped she sounded reasonably cheerful. "What's up?"
"Meg?"
Irene sounded as if she wasn't expecting anyone to answer. "Yes, it's me." Who the hell else would answer with Mom?
"Oh, well, how was your birthday?"
"Good. The folks at work made me a cake."
"That's certainly nice of them. Do you have any plans in the next couple of weeks?"
Meg picked up her glass of iced tea and took a drink before answering. Irene was up to something. "In terms of what? I always have work to do somewhere."
"Of course I know that. But it seems that Phil, you remember him, will be going to Colorado in the next week or so, and he asked about you."
Meg set her glass down before she squeezed it hard enough to shatter it. "No, he didn't, Mom. So please don't play that game with me." Irene let one of her long sighs loose, the kind that was probably accompanied with an eye roll.
"You can stop being so rude. And I was saying he'll be in Colorado, and I know he'll love to see you again, and I think it would be the least you could do to have lunch with him. Wear something pretty."
Meg rubbed her forehead, and frustration knotted in her stomach. "Stop. Just stop."
"I'm just trying to be helpful. You're my daughter, and I just want what's best for you,"
Irene said, voice rising. She clenched, then unclenched her teeth. "Mom, what you think is best for me isn't. So how about we just hang up now before this conversation goes places neither of us wants?"
"Meg, let me help you."
"Okay, you just went there. How about this? You stop harassing me with your ex-gay bullshit. I won't talk about my love life, and we can maybe have a sort of civil relationship."
"Language," Irene snapped.
"Dad says you cussed just fine before you left," she retorted. "How about my offer?" Silence. "Look, this is clearly not working, so I'm hanging up now. Bye, Mom."
She pressed the disconnect button, anger replacing her frustration. She banged the phone against her thigh a couple of times, but replaced it on the receiver before she threw it across the room.
"Fuck,"
she said with enough venom that Moonshine poked his head in from the living room.
"Not you, buddy."
She scratched him behind his ears, trying to calm down. Why did Irene's fixation on Meg's life, and in particular, the gay thing, make her crazy? Why couldn't she just let it go? Did she still think Irene would come around someday?
"Fuck,"
she said again, but this time just to let off some steam. She got up and stalked into her bedroom, where she changed out of her sweats into jeans and put on a pair of old running shoes. "I'll be back in a few," she said to Moonshine, who gave her a doggy version of a quizzical expression. She gave his ears a rub, then turned the radio on for him before she left. 10 minutes later, she found a parking space downtown and walked a block to her favorite pizza place, where she found a recent copy of the University of Wyoming student newspaper and an unoccupied corner table. She sat down and the server approached, a wiry guy sporting a wispy goatee.
"Hey, Doc."
"Hi, Sam. You in school this summer?"
"Eh," he said as he handed her a menu. "Took the summer off to make some money. You want something to drink?"
"Bud Light, and I'm ready to order."
She handed the menu back and he grinned.
"The usual?"
She laughed.
"I must come here a lot. But no, let's shake it up. Bring me a small pesto."
"Nice." He wrote her order down. "Be right back with your beer."
"Thanks." She flipped through the paper, thinking that it might be a good idea to contact one of the reporters over there and do an interview about the clinic, and maybe about what it took to become a vet. Maybe the clinic could offer a student discount on basic animal checkups. She'd run that by Ginny and the other vets, see what they thought.
Sam returned with her beer and a glass of water as well as a roll of silverware and a few extra napkins.
It'll be up in a few.
She smiled and picked up her beer. Here's to you, Irene, she muttered, driving in a drink. She sipped and continued looking through the paper until Sam returned with her pizza and the handy carry rack of hot pepper flakes and Parmesan.
Let me know if you need anything else.
I will, thanks. He left her to her food, and she ate two pieces while reading the classifieds in the paper. You never knew what somebody was trying to sell. Lots of places for rent, too, she noticed. What with most of the students gone for the summer.
Hey, Doc.
Meg looked up as Haley approached. She was wearing shorts and a faded gray tee that said she was a property of the University of Wyoming Athletic Department.
Hi, Meg said. Out on this festive Saturday, too? That's Laramie, right? Festive?
Meg smiled.
Are you here alone? Yeah, I got something to go and I'm just waiting on it. Well, sit down.
Meg gestured at the chair to her left and Haley took it. You want something to drink?
No, thanks. Oh, I start class next week. And I have a schedule worked out for the clinic.
Sounds good. Just make sure we have it. We'll work around it and figure out what other things we can talk you into.
Can't wait,
she said with a smile.
Oh, would it be okay for me to take pictures of some of the things we do?
Some of the procedures?
Yeah.
As long as you don't have any identifiable people in them, and you have the permission of the animal owners, I don't think it'll be a problem. Meg gave her a mock stern look. And as long as they're for your personal study use and you don't post them anywhere, can I trust that you'll honor that?
Oh, yes, ma'am, she said, eyes widening. I guess I'm weird because I don't do that. I'm kind of private.
You're a dying breed, sadly. Meg took a sip of her beer.
Beth's the same way, Haley said after a few moments.
Meg waited for her to continue.
She doesn't like to put too much out there either.
Good for her, too. Meg eyed her over the rim of her glass. How long have you been together?
3 years.
Haley's expression softened and she smiled.
We met in a class.
Oh, is she interested in vet stuff too?
No, I mean, not as a career. The class didn't have anything to do with that. It was an English class. I was trying to knock a couple of the non-science classes out early.
Meg nodded and set her glass down. Plus, it's a nice break in your thinking. Gets you to see things differently, ideally anyway. What's her major?
Art, Haley smiled. She's really talented.
Oh, what kind of art?
Graphic design, but she paints too and does pastels. Some of her work is up at Coal Creek Coffee right now. She sold a few over there.
Congrats to her. Are you both the same year in school?
No, she finishes in December. I have a little bit more to go.
She hesitated, as if she wasn't sure how much more she should reveal. Meg took another drink of beer. Want a piece of this? She motioned at the pizza.
Oh no, I've got one on the way.
She shrugged and took a bite. It's good, she said, trying to tempt her. Haley smiled.
I know, but I'm saving myself for the one I ordered.
Well, I can't argue with that. Make sure it's the right one and all. Haley actually laughed. And hopefully, it'll be the right one for Beth, too. Meg raised her eyebrows.
It will be.
She leaned forward a little.
Do you think it would be okay if she came by sometime while I was working, so she could see?
Sure. Just make sure she understands that if things are crazy, you won't be able to talk much. Do you guys have pets?
No, we've been too busy. We both like a couple of dogs eventually, though.
Well, if dogs show up, I'd be glad to be their doggy doctor. Haley smiled.
That'd be great. And I'll pay for their care, she added hastily. I don't expect you to treat them for free or anything like that.
Meg took another swallow of beer. I know you don't. But I'll tell you what. It's a little more convenient treating the family pet when you're the vet, she winked. You just haul them in to work with you and take them on rounds, like certain dogs.
Moonshine's cool, Haley said with another smile. I'd be glad to take care of him for you if you have to go out of town for anything.
I appreciate that, and of course I will pay you to take care of his furry ass.
You don't have to do that, she said quietly. I feel like I owe you for giving me a chance.
Hey, Meg gave her a hard stare. You've got talent for animal care. I have no doubt that vet school is in your future and that you'll succeed at it. This isn't about chance. It's about recognizing what's in you and putting it to work. And I will do whatever I can to help you take the next step. Haley's jaw clenched, and for a moment she looked like she might cry. But she composed herself. A hard road she'd had to ride already, Meg thought. And remember, anytime you and Beth want to come out to the Diamond Rock and hang out with me and a bunch of other weirdos, Just let me know. Standing invite.
That'd be great.
Haley lowered her gaze.
I told Beth that I wanted her to meet you.
Good. It's important that I pass muster with the partner, so she knows I'm not working you to the bone or forcing you to do all the nasty vet stuff I don't want to do, like the butt exams or anything. She grinned.
I think it's going to be my least fave part of veterinary medicine.
But you get a lot of info from the ass, my friend. Meg raised her glass in a mock salute and finished the rest of her beer while Haley giggled. Sam approached. Anything else, Doc?
Nah, that's it.
Cool. I'll wrap that up for you. He gestured at the pizza that remained on the pizza tray.
Great, thanks.
He placed a check next to her.
And your pizza's up,
he said to Haley.
Thanks.
Haley stood and he moved away.
I'll see you Monday,
she said to Meg. Yep. Don't get too wild this weekend.
No, ma'am,
she said, but she was smiling.
Later.
She started to turn when Meg spoke again. You know, if you ever need anything, whatever it is, you or Beth can call me. Make sure she has my cell number. Haley stared at her for a long moment, then nodded, a serious expression on her face.
Thank you.
Meg nodded back, and Haley went to the front to get her pizza. She put a few bills on the check, and Sam reappeared a few moments later with her to-go box.
You need change?
He asked. Nope, I'm helping pay your student loans, he laughed.
Thanks, Doc. See you next time.
She nodded as she stood, picked up her to-go box, left the restaurant, and walked back to her truck. She didn't get in right away, and instead stood staring up into the dark, thinking about Gina. Retro crush, she muttered with a wry smile as she got into her truck. She pulled away from the curb and drove home. Her phone rang just as Meg got in from a Sunday evening jog around the neighborhood. She glanced at the ID, and it seemed her heart sped up, and not from the exercise.
Hi, Mary.
Hey, Gina would love to see you, but can you fly in 3 weeks from Wednesday? We're trying to spread visits out so we don't wear her out. One of her co-workers and some of her friends will be visiting the Thursday and Friday before, and then Sharon will be in town that weekend, and then you can come.
Sharon, that was a kick to the gut. You sure? Maybe Gina needs more downtime after all those people are there.
What for? She's totally looking forward to seeing you. That's the week she wanted to see you.
Okay, you want me to rent a car?
Meg relented before she talked herself completely out of this.
No way, I'll pick you up. We have plenty of vehicles here. No sense spending money on a rental when there are plenty of us in the area to get you.
It'll probably be an evening flight.
No problem, I'll work around it, she giggled then. This is going to be a blast, just like old times.
Meg frowned. What did that mean?
So where should I stay?
What the hell kind of question is that? Meg, you're practically family. You'll stay at Mom and Dad's. There's plenty of room.
With Gina?
But, oh shit, gotta run. I'll keep you posted. Bye.
And she hung up, leaving Meg to stare blankly at the phone. Stay at Gina's folks' house? With Gina? Was that even a good idea?
Oh shit,
she said softly as she hung up the phone. Visiting Gina after Sharon was there left her deflated. Face the demons, Sean would say. Take them out for a drink. But she doubted there was enough alcohol in Laramie to appease them. She fixed a burger for dinner and cooked a bit of ground beef for Moonshine that she stirred in with his regular kibble. He ate like he'd never seen food. She had to make sure that he maintained a certain weight so as to keep strain off his back end. But a little treat every now and again wouldn't hurt. He banged his bowl against the wall, trying to get every last bit, and she gave him a little extra. She opened the back door so he could come and go, and then she poured herself another glass of iced tea and watched him wandering around the yard. She was looking forward to seeing Gina, but the idea had taken on a melancholy cast. Maybe she'd been hoping that since nobody had really mentioned Sharon, that somehow Sharon wasn't real, that maybe there was a chance that Gina might want more from Meg. Clearly, she was the world's biggest idiot.
Life goes on, she said with a sigh.
She went back inside to her office and opened one of the papers she was co-writing for a journal, but she ended up staring at the ceiling instead. It was an asshole move to back out of the visit now. On the other hand, maybe she could get really busy and thus have a reason to back out.
Fuck,
she muttered as she focused on the research paper again. This she could handle. Animal stuff she could deal with. But issues of the heart? That was a whole other animal. and one she knew could cause a hell of a lot of pain. Yeah, she might have to be really busy in the next couple of weeks.
Chapter 17. Moonshine sat up in the truck seat and looked around as Meg pulled up in front of the ranch house and she gave him a pat. Hang out here, pal. She got out of the truck, and immediately three cattle dogs approached, barking. A sharp whistle from the front porch put a stop to it. All three raced to the source of the whistle. Hey, Howard, she said. He stood in the doorway to the house and beamed at her, grinning behind his massive mustache.
I'm here to see a man about a horse, he laughed. Come in, come in. Coffee?
She smiled back. Love some.
Doc Roy said you'd be doing the Monday rounds this week. Haven't seen you in a while. How are you?
Good. And you?
Same shit, different day, he chuckled. Not a whole lot going on with the livestock, thank God. But Doc Roy wanted to do a follow-up.
Well, I read all the files and talked to him, so if I see anything weird, I'll let him know and he'll swing by tomorrow or Thursday.
Appreciate it.
She followed him into the kitchen, and he poured her a cup of coffee from the pot on the counter. Blue gingham curtains hung over the window above the sink, and the wallpaper was decorated with little butter churns and mixing bowls. Where's Paula? Meg asked.
Cheyenne, visiting her mom.
So you're a bachelor for a few days. She sipped the coffee black, hot and strong, like the way Alice made it, and the way all the hands on her dad preferred. She liked a splash of cream, but she'd take it black too. He smiled.
Nah, just more for me to do. Jason's home from college for the summer, so that's a help.
He shrugged.
Doesn't matter how much you work, there's always more to do.
Truer words were never spoken. They chatted a bit more before he led her to the barns, then out to the paddock. An hour later, she was on the road again for the next spread, checking on not only animals, but the people who tended them. Because out here, the two were linked, tied into the ebbs and flows of a life dependent on the land and what it could provide. That's why she was more than happy to go on rounds that might take her 100 miles from one end of the county to the next, because she knew what a life out here entailed. And as hard as it could be, she loved it. Loved the way the spring grasses rippled in the wind like waves and washed toward the base of the medicine bows, and how the sky stretched for miles, and how the earth in her hands felt like the warmth of a cow's hide beneath her palms. And as she packed up after her last visit, the late afternoon sun dug its fingers into the landscape and infused it with Meg's favorite kind of light, a rich, deep gold that seemed to calm the wind and bind day to a whisper of evening. She sang along with the radio all the way back to Laramie and remembered a dark-haired, dark-eyed woman who sat her horse like a pro and who raced her across the meadows at the ranch and wrapped Meg in her arms at the end of the day, singing softly near her ear. She pulled into the parking lot at the clinic and sat for a few minutes, brooding again over California. She picked at a worn spot on the steering wheel cover. It was so not a good idea to go. Then again, it was a demon, and Sean would tell her to face it. What's the worst that could happen? She leaned her forehead against the wheel. The worst thing? She'd fall for Gina. Again. And she knew her heart could not bear that. Fuck, she said. Moonshine gave her a pitying look and put his paw on her thigh. She smiled. Yeah, she said to him as she scratched his ears. It's time to go home. She got out of the truck and went around to let him out, still thinking about flying out to Sacramento a few days after Gina's girlfriend had left. The visit wasn't feeling like such a good idea, but she didn't want to back out either. And Gina had sent the video where she said she wanted to be friends. Didn't friends visit each other like this? She called Moonshine over to her truck and lifted him in. Wait here, pal. She left the window cracked for him and went to unload the vet truck from rounds, still trying to justify a friendly visit with Gina. Shit, she muttered as she finished and locked up the building. She was in a twilight zone between friend and ex, and in an even weirder zone where she wanted to be more than friends again. How is that possible? She frowned. How is it possible to be in love with your past? That was crazy. Echoes, she thought. She was just caught up in an echo. Her cell phone rang. Hi, Dad.
Hi, hon.
How are things?
We got a thank you card from your mom. Thought you'd like me to read it to you.
She heard him trying not to laugh, which smoothed the raw edge she always felt when dealing with things related to Irene.
Sounds like a gem. Go ahead.
She leaned against the grill of her truck. He cleared his throat.
Dear Stan, thank you for your wonderful hospitality recently. It really was quite an experience seeing how the operation has changed over the years. Phil had a wonderful time, but was extremely disappointed that he couldn't spend more time with Meg. I really think he's taken a shine to her. So I passed her mailing address to him.
Meg snorted a laugh. She called a few days ago and told me Phil would be in Colorado on a business trip soon, and I should wear something pretty to have lunch with him.
Oh, Lord, Stan said. Let's see what else she says.
He cleared his throat.
He mentioned that he was working on a business venture in Colorado, and that he'd be out that way for a business trip and then later this summer. I think this could be serious! Exclamation point, he said, obviously trying not to laugh.
Oh my God.
I've enclosed a business card of his to pass along to Meg, if you would. Maybe this time she'll realize the error of her ways.
She sighed and thought about her most recent conversation with her mom, who was trying a different tack, using Stan as a messenger.
I've already got Phil's card, and he sent me a thank you email last week.
Well, isn't he the polite one? Maybe your mom's right,
Meg laughed.
Anyway, here's the last part. Thank you again, and I hope things continue to go well for you. Best wishes, Irene Bard.
I wonder how Phil's fiancée will feel about this deep, secret love he harbors for me. He started laughing.
Must have been the cowboy hat, he said. Gets those boys every time.
Why does she always sign with Bard?
Does she think we'll forget who she is? She asked, knowing there wasn't really an answer.
Maybe she's afraid she'll forget.
That's impossible. She already did.
He sighed then.
Well, Phil is a nice guy, and he's got good business vision. I told him to look me up when he gets out here permanently.
Did he tell you what he's up to?
Not specifically. But he did show me pictures of his fiancée, which explains a lot. I invited them both to the DR.
She grinned. I liked him too, but not enough to move in around Alicia, he chuckled.
Oh, I sent that package out to Gina's family today. How is she?
Meg's grin widened, in spite of her inner turmoil. As far as I know, okay, considering. Cuts, bruises, bruised ribs.
Oh, those are a pisser. Takes a while for those to ease up.
Yeah. She'll be back in the States, probably around Wednesday.
Good. She'll get some of Alice's cookies.
He sounded pleased, and Meg smiled.
Have you talked to her since last week?
No, just Mary since then.
Well, next time you talk to her, tell her hi from all of us at the DR.
Will do.
So you still coming up next weekend?
Yep. I want to get more pictures of the site we liked.
I was just out there, and I think there might be water, too. Might be able to put in your own well. I'm going to have Earl Ransom come out and have a look.
You don't think it's a little too late? She ran a hand through her hair. Generally, March and April were better months for water witching.
Nah, but Earl will let me know if he thinks it is. I'll call him. Maybe I can get him for the weekend you're here.
Sounds good.
All right. Talk to you later.
Okay, bye. She hung up and studied the brick wall of the clinic, thinking about Irene. How was it that you could feel so completely alienated from the woman who had given birth to you? She stared down at her phone and checked her text messages, then her email. One made her heart speed up. She opened it.
Hey, cowgirl. I managed to commandeer a computer. Okay, Frank helped. I don't get to keep it for very long, but it'll do the job.
Just wanted to tell you how great it was to talk to you, and I'll give you a call when I'm stateside. Looking forward to it. Mary told me you asked about coming to visit, and I told her to tell you, hell yes. Probably best to wait at least 2 weeks because I'm no doubt going to be sore and cranky for a while. Mary's building the visit schedule. Who knew I'd have one of those? So check in with her and then send us your itinerary. I'm going to pause now because, wow, I really will get to see you this summer. And sooner than I'd planned. No thanks to the circumstances that helped that. But I'll give them props for letting me see you in a couple of weeks rather than a couple of months. Anyway, that's reason enough for me to not be sore and cranky. And on that note, I'll catch you in a few days. Take care. Gina. Meg read it a few times, and a combination of giddiness and dread battled through her thoughts. She pushed off the front of the truck and went around to the driver's side, got in, and set her phone in the cup holder near the gear shift, before she started the engine. Okay, Mooney, for real, let's go home.
Chapter 18. Wednesday morning, Meg arrived at the office just after Ginny. She smelled coffee and grinned.
For the coffee alone, you're hired, she announced.
Ginny smiled at her. She took her glasses off and let them hang around her neck, held in place with a pink cord. She wore a light blue scrub top with little cartoon dogs and cats on it. Meg figured she had dozens of scrubs with that design. She might even collect them deliberately to see how many different kinds of dog and cat designs came on scrubs.
Morning, Ginny said. Do I need to remind you about your morning schedule?
Nope. One canine neuter, one feline spay. Let's try to get future fixings scheduled in the afternoons that Haley's here.
Already done.
Meg came around the counter. Of course it is. I just say crap like that for my own edification, so I feel like I actually know what's happening around here with the intern.
Ginny smiled. You want coffee?
Meg asked with another grin.
Please.
Meg took Ginny's cup from the counter and went to her office first to drop her bag off and get her own cup. She filled both from the staff coffee machine in the back, which Ginny had also prepared. Ginny kept her own coffee supplies up front, so Meg returned to the front and set Ginny's cup on the counter.
Thank you, Ginny said.
She finished writing something down and took a pack of powdered creamer and a pack of sugar out of a drawer.
Heard anything recently regarding Gina?
Her sister says she's flying back to the States today, actually, Meg thought for a moment. If she left Germany in the morning there, she'll probably be landing soon in New York.
Have you talked to her?
Ginny stirred her coffee with a little too much concentration. No, but she sent me an email. I'll probably talk to her when she's back in California. She focused on her own coffee. Ginny made an affirmative noise and tried her coffee. She was very particular about her morning coffee.
I hope you're considering a visit.
Meg shrugged and sipped.
It has been discussed. Possibly in 3 weeks. I'll need to look at the schedule. If it happens, I'll probably leave Thursday afternoon and come back Sunday.
Flying out of Denver?
Most likely. It's a pain in the ass drive, but it's more of a pain in the ass to fly out of Cheyenne for that trip and stop all over hell and gone before I actually get anywhere.
Clear your calendar on Thursday and drive down Wednesday night.
That's an option, she said noncommittal. But things get busy around here. That's coming up on the 4th. People want to get everything scheduled and make reservations for boarding. I might not be able to go.
It's about 2 weeks out from the 4th,
Ginny corrected. She took another sip of coffee, studying her.
Meg cringed internally and started to reply when Sandra came in, followed by Nicole.
Morning all, Sandra said.
Hey,
Meg said, relieved. She didn't want to talk about a visit with Gina.
I'll be in the back. Nicole, we need to prep for a canine neuter this morning.
Okay, hi, Ginny,
she said as she passed the counter and went into the back.
I'll be in the back, too.
Meg followed her and avoided Ginny's gaze.
All right, let's get prepped,
she said as the door swung shut behind her. Meg relaxed and fell into her pre-surgery focus, something she always did. She viewed each surgery as a puzzle that needed to be solved, or a task that needed to be completed for the health of the animal and the connection of the owner to that animal. If only human relationships could be that simple and that easy to deal with. Almost 3 hours later, she checked on the cat she just spayed that administered annual vaccinations to a dog and pulled porcupine quills out of another dog's face. By noon, she was ready for a break. She went to her office and sank gratefully into her chair. While she rested, she checked her phone for messages. She'd gotten a couple of texts, the first from a number she didn't recognize. She opened it anyway.
Hey, Meg, it read. Gina here, using my buddy's phone. Landed in NYC. Flying on to SAC at 12 EST. Call you when I can.
And she smiled at the text. Smiled because Gina had borrowed a phone specifically to send it to her. Did that mean anything? Or was Gina just being conscientious? She checked the time on her phone, saw that Gina had already been in the air for a couple of hours. The second message was from Mary, saying basically the same thing. Meg reread the text from Gina. She wanted to see her. Wanted to more than anything. But then she'd be left to fly home with an even stronger crush. Or as Sean said, Gina might reciprocate,
even though she was seeing someone else. That thought was worse somehow than dealing with her crush. Alternatively, what if Gina and Sharon were on the rocks and their relationship was ending anyway? Would that make a difference? She wasn't sure. And even if that were the case, Sharon would still get hurt. Meg wasn't sure she could be that big an asshole to someone, even if Gina was some kind of soulmate and they were meant to be together. She put her phone back on her belt. What kind of stupid thought was that anyway? Meant to be together? Christ, they hadn't even been in the same room together in 5 years. On the other hand, what would it hurt to go visit her? Meg stood and retrieved her sandwich from her mini fridge. But if she decided to do this, no way was she going to stay at Gina's folks' house. She'd rent a car and get a hotel, because it was weird to crash at your ex's parents' house. She and Gina hadn't even really paved the friendship road yet. And out of respect for Sharon, Meg didn't want to end up in a situation where she'd say or do something she couldn't take back. "Hey, Doc," Haley said from the doorway. "Class got out a little early, so I just came over." "Excellent. Check in with Nicole about the cat we just spayed. Have her go over the prep procedure, and as soon as I finish lunch, I'll be right there." She held up her sandwich and smiled.
"Okay.
Get a fresh lab coat. You know where they are."
"Yes, ma'am."
She walked away, and Meg stifled a sigh, again with the ma'am. She went out front to check her appointments. "How old do I look?" she asked Sandra.
I don't know.
"Seriously, if you didn't know me and you saw me on the street, how old would you think I am?"
Maybe late 20s, 30?
Sandra shrugged. Ginny looked over at Meg. "Why?"
"Just curious about the age a woman hits before people start calling her ma'am all the time."
Ginny laughed.
"Just wait till your doctors are 10, 20 years younger than you," Meg grimaced.
"Yikes. Okay, what's next?" Ginny gave her the rundown, and for the rest of the day, Meg was busy nonstop. Her last appointment went past 5, so it was nearly 5:30 before she took a break.
"Here's hoping nobody comes in before 6, Sandra said.
She eyed the clock that hung over the door into the back.
"Where's Haley?"
"Out back with Rick, walking some of the dogs." Meg picked up the schedule and checked Thursday afternoon's appointments. She'd take care of a couple of places on rounds in the morning, and then more in-office craziness. She checked Fridays, too. Sandra finished her paperwork and put patient folders away while Ginny checked the schedule grids and made some adjustments. At 6 o'clock, Sandra was already out the door.
"Date with her cowboy," Ginny said.
She went and turned the sign on the door to closed. Meg rubbed her eyes.
"Same one as last month?"
"Mm-hmm. That's some kind of record," she stretched, trying to loosen her shoulder muscles. "Speaking of dates,"
Meg snapped her gaze to Ginny's.
"Sacramento," she said in a way that required an answer.
"It's complicated."
"Oh, I don't want to talk about it."
Ginny studied her as if she was looking at a door and trying to figure out how to open it.
There's baggage, and I'm not sure how I feel about it, and I'm not sure whether I'm ready to deal with it.
A visit could create problems. A visit could also put a lot to rest.
Ginny started gathering her things to leave.
"Let me know if or when you want your schedule cleared. Good night."
Meg watched her leave, then watched through the front windows as Haley's truck pulled up in front of the building. A woman Meg didn't know got out, and she guessed this was Beth. She went to open the door.
"Hi," she said. "Beth?"
"Yes."
She smiled, and it lit up her face, framed by a mass of blonde hair. She looked about the same age as Haley, and she wore faded jeans, a Western-style red shirt, and old scuffed black combat boots.
"Pretty." "You must be Dr. Talmadge," she said. "Good to meet you."
"Likewise. Come on in. Haley's just finishing up."
She stood aside as Beth entered, trailing a faint odor of cologne, something feminine and a little sweet.
"I'll just wait here," Beth said,
gesturing at the chairs in the lobby.
"No, it's all right. Let me get Haley. I'm sure she'd like to show you around."
She started toward the back when Haley emerged and almost ran into her.
"Hey, Doc. Oh, hi,"
she grinned when she saw Beth, in a way that indicated Beth was much more than a friend.
"Did you two meet?"
"We did,"
Beth said, smiling back. And it made Meg think about how Gina used to smile at her the 2 years they were together.
"Why don't you show her around?" Meg said. "I'm just going to shut my computer down and make sure everything's secure before Randy gets in. We'll leap through the back."
"Okay,"
Haley said with a nod. She motioned with her hand at the door behind the counter.
So back here is where all the cool stuff happens.
Beth smiled.
So I've heard.
Meg locked the front door, then went to her office. She heard Haley and Beth chatting with Rick, who was on duty until late, and then a door opened and closed as they went into the kennel area. She shut her computer down and picked her satchel up and went to wait by the back door for Haley and Beth.
Thanks, Doc,
Haley said as they approached the back door about 5 minutes later. Did you manage to convince Beth that nothing untoward occurs here? Meg smiled.
Almost,
Haley smiled back as Meg opened the door.
Thank you, Dr. Talmadge,
Beth said as she walked past her outside into the parking area behind the building.
I really appreciate that I was able to see where Haley's doing her internship. She's really excited about it.
She took Haley's hand. We're glad to have her aboard. Thanks for coming by. See you tomorrow, Haley.
Sure thing. Later.
Haley waved with her free hand as Beth pulled her gently away toward the front. Meg watched them until they rounded the building, thinking that a lot had changed since she was their age, and it was second nature for Beth to take Haley's hand, even in a Laramie parking lot. She glanced around anyway, because as much as things had changed, some things hadn't, and all it took was one asshole who decided he didn't like to see queers holding hands in public. She didn't see anything that set off alarms, so she got into her truck. She needed to get home and see how Moonshine was doing on his own. The landline rang, and Meg glanced at the clock on her computer screen. Nearly 10. The ID showed a California area code. Hello? She answered.
Hey, cowgirl.
Meg nearly choked on her own breath.
Hey, wow, how are you? Last I heard from Mary was that your plane landed earlier this evening and you were really tired. So how come you're not in bed?
Oops, maybe an image she didn't need.
That's about right. I am crazy tired and a bit sore, but nothing I can't handle. I'm staying up a little bit later so I can go to sleep at my normal hour and fool the jet lag.
She smiled, and Meg could hear it in her words.
Yeah, that should work. Wear dark clothing, too. The jet lag won't see you lurking in the hallway or anything.
Gina chuckled.
Damn, I've missed you.
Before Meg could say anything or process a statement, she continued.
So my mom has doctor's appointments lined up already. She's worried about one of the gashes on my leg. It was pretty deep and I'm limping a little bit. I think my mom just wants to make sure everything gets checked 100 times.
I'm with her on that. How deep was the injury?
Maybe a quarter inch. It was a clean slice, so the scar won't be too bad. There's no serious muscle damage, but I've got a bunch of bruises in the area too, and it hurts to walk too much.
Well, I'm still with your mom on this. Get checked out again.
Yes, doctor, I will, she teased.
And the warmth in her voice sent sparks down Meg's spine.
And if you keep limping, you could always be a pirate,
Meg offered slyly.
Get a parrot and an eye patch. I think I have a hook you could use.
Oh, thanks,
Gina said with mock sarcasm.
I knew I could count on you for career advice.
Speaking of which, Meg started. Care to share a little bit about what's next?
Don't know, actually.
Gina fell silent for a bit.
Honestly, I'm burned out, and I don't really feel like talking about that right now. I'm pulling the cranky and tired card.
Fair enough.
I'd rather hear how you are. Start talking, and if you hear snoring, you'll know that's your cue to hang up.
So you're saying my conversation will help you sleep? She teased back.
I'm saying that hearing your voice makes me feel like all is right with the world.
Meg bit her lip to keep from saying what she really wanted to.
Well, all right,
she managed as she stood and went to the back door where she could see the stars.
So spill it. What's new?
So Meg caught Gina up on her plans to eventually start a practice or take one over in Saratoga. And she chatted a bit about what her dad and the ranch crew had been up to.
And how'd it go with your mom? Gina asked when Meg had finished.
Meg groaned.
That's a whole other can of nuts. And how about I tell you about that later, because I'm a doctor and all, and I'm ordering you to bed.
She realized what she'd said too late.
Shit.
I'd rather talk to you,
Gina said matter-of-factly, skipping over Meg's comment.
But I know you have to get up early. And I forgot about the time difference between us. I didn't realize what time it was there.
No problem. Thanks for calling.
She tried not to think about how this felt like it did when they were together, talking for hours on the phone, caught up in the moment, and not realizing how much time had passed. And it dawned on her that Gina hadn't mentioned Sharon, not once.
Not to sound too weird,
But is it okay to call you again?
Gina asked, sounding tentative. Does ringworm itch? Gina snorted.
I think so. That's one thing I didn't pick up overseas, thank God.
Well, there you go. Call me. Do you have an American cell phone?
Not yet. I have to rely on the good graces of the vast Morelli network for that, she sighed. I have a ton of shit to catch up on, too. Mary's coming by tomorrow with a laptop and I'll be able to check email.
Exciting, I know. She smiled. She could practically hear Gina's eye roll over the phone.
Check in when you can. Mary has my cell phone number.
For sure. She hesitated.
Thanks for talking, Meg. It means a lot to me.
Duh. Isn't that like what your, friends are supposed to do?
You do that a little too well. You could move to California, just wear Hawaiian shirts with your cowboy hat. Keep them guessing.
Hell, Gina, I do that anyway.
Which? Wear Hawaiian shirts with your hat or keep them guessing?
She flushed, and she was glad Gina couldn't see it, because it sure felt like Gina was flirting with her. It was at once familiar and exciting, but also confusing. Still, Meg fell into the moment.
I'll let you be the judge, she said a little too coyly.
I already know. You keep them guessing, Gina said softly.
Okay, get some sleep, Doc. This has been, I don't have the words.
Funny, I know, me the writer type and all.
It's been wonderful talking to you. Take care.
You too. And I'm really glad you're home safe.
Same here. And I'm not sure when I'll be able to call. I've got a lot going on here, but I'll keep you posted on all relevant medical procedures. I know you have a thing for those now.
Meg laughed. Not sure how I feel about that assessment.
I personally really get a kick out of it. All right, catch you later.
They said bye at the same time and hung up. Meg stared at the phone before replacing it on its holder.
Shit, she muttered.
She didn't know Sharon. She might be a little jealous of her, but it still felt weird for Gina to flirt when she was seeing someone else. It bothered her. It burst a bubble of sorts. And maybe she wouldn't like what she saw if she visited. How much could someone change over 8 years? Quite a bit, it seemed. And Meg didn't want to see that side of Gina. No matter how it felt to talk to her, how it was both exciting and familiar, she didn't want to see the side of Gina that didn't acknowledge her girlfriend and that flirted with Meg. But still, the crush remained. She sighed, frustrated, and closed the back door so she could get ready for bed. Chapter 19.
Do you think it's weird for someone not to mention their girlfriend at all?
Sean looked up from her plate. They were sitting at a table in La La's Mexican Grill, festive and maybe a little garish, but it had some of the best fish tacos in Colorado, Meg was convinced. Sean cocked her head.
Gina's still not talking about Sharon?
No, nada. Zippo. It's like she doesn't exist.
Sean took a bite of her enchilada and swallowed before answering.
Have you talked to her since she called you when she got in?
No, and I'd tell you if I had.
This is true.
The last email I got was Tuesday, telling me the doctor checkup went fine, and she hasn't had time to get a personal American cell to replace the one she lost over there. But no mention there either of Sharon, or even anything personal, just newsy and friendly.
And here it was Thursday, the week after Gina got back from Germany. She was still stressing out about visiting.
Okay, so let's go for the most obvious first. Is Gina still with Sharon?
As far as I know. She said in December that Sharon was taking a position in the States.
And Mary told me that Sharon's coming to visit late next week, I think.
Sean sipped her water.
Do you recall in that particular email that Gina sent that she said Sharon, my girlfriend? Or if she said something intimate like that to indicate that they were in fact still together at that point?
Meg bit into her taco while she thought. She chewed and swallowed, appreciating the explosion of flavor on her tongue, though it was a little heavy on the cilantro.
Nuh-uh.
So maybe they're not together anymore.
Why wouldn't Gina have told me that?
Maybe she did, Sean said, shrugging. Maybe you don't remember. Maybe you've blocked all kinds of things out because you're under the influence of a retro crush.
Meg took another bite to avoid responding.
Hun, it's been 8 years. Gina might not be the woman you want her to be.
Another pang of doubt crept through her chest.
I know.
Really? She asked gently. Have you really thought about that?
Yes. I know that 8 years can bring lots of changes. but I think intrinsically people remain at their core who they are. And it's not like Gina to not be upfront about something like this. Maybe you didn't see it when you were together. Sean cut a piece of enchilada, and Meg watched a group of college-aged women giggling as they threw glances at a table of college-aged men. The place was pretty busy for an early summer Sunday evening. I've thought about that, too. I've gone through every bit of correspondence I've got, and I just don't see the evidence of that. Sean giggled.
Oh my God, you're so CSI. Maybe you should go into police work.
Meg had to laugh as well. Okay, yeah, so maybe I'm obsessing a bit.
Yeah, maybe a little.
She took another bite.
Not that it's not really cute when you get all freaky and analytical. Damn it.
She mimicked one of their vet school props whom Meg had proven wrong about her diagnosis.
Don't ever try to put one over on Talmadge. She'll make it her life's mission to find the truth. Wait, that's not CSI. That's X-Files.
Sean raised an eyebrow and took a drink. Meg made a frustrated noise in the back of her throat.
I just don't get it, because she's flirting with me.
Sean's eyes widened.
You're sure?
Yeah.
I mean, in the last phone call, and the way that Gina does it, she's very subtle, and if you're not paying attention, you'd miss it.
So you, of course, have been paying attention, she noted, more laughter in her voice. Meg shot her a mock glare.
Well, duh. I've already told you I still have feelings for her.
So I thought maybe I was just reading shit into things that aren't really there, being all caught up in the fact that she's actually talking to me. Light sarcasm colored her last remark, and Sean apparently caught it.
Sweet cheeks, I don't think that's fair of you to imply anything with that tone. You didn't exactly go out of your way to talk to her over the years either. Maybe she left you alone thinking it's what you wanted.
She sighed and leaned back in her chair.
You're right. I'm still figuring that out.
Sean regarded her with a look that said,
And?
So she's flirting with me in the way that she does it. When Gina does something, she generally has a reason behind it, a goal. So she has something in mind.
Maybe she'd like to talk you into bed, she said bluntly.
I'd let her too, Meg thought.
But she's involved.
She stabbed at her rice with her fork.
This is so fucking confusing.
Sean finished her food and pushed her plate out of the way.
Okay, Mulder, you don't know that for sure. She hasn't said she's involved, but according to you, she hasn't said she's not. You don't think she's the type to play you and Sharon off each other, but yet here she is flirting with you. So find out. The truth is out there,
she added in a low, mysterious voice.
Fuck,
Meg muttered, exasperated. I'll go back through the correspondence. Sean gave her a disbelieving look.
Would you listen to what you just said? There's an easier way.
What? She looked at her like she'd grown another head.
Remember when Ted and I had that little issue a couple years ago, and I was freaking out because I wondered why the hell that chick kept calling his cell?
Meg nodded.
Do you remember what you told me to do?
She grinned sheepish.
Uh-huh.
Sean raised an eyebrow at her.
You told me to ask him. So I did, and he laughed and told me it was a surprise for my birthday. The woman who was calling was a person who was helping him coordinate it. He was bummed that he had to admit to the surprise, but it still was really great that he worked so long to get that organized. And yes, we did have a long conversation about trust.
So what are you saying? She asked, laughing.
Duh. Call her ass up and ask her. Gina, what the fuck? Are you still doing the deed with Sharon? Because if you are, you need to quit acting like you want a little something with me. Not that I wouldn't take you up on it, but still. It makes me wonder what that bomb blast did to your head.
Meg stared at her for a moment, then laughed. Can I quote you, please? Sean turned serious.
Look, I know you have feelings for her. I know you always have. And frankly, you probably always will. It doesn't mean you're incapable of loving someone else deeply or finding fulfillment with someone else. If Gina's the one, then it'll happen. But you need to really try to look at this objectively. You ended a relationship just last winter. You had an emotional scare with that scary dream and what happened to her, and you're carrying a torch, all of which can be a dangerous combination for a heart.
She reached across the table and squeezed Meg's hand.
Gina isn't who she was when you were together, Sean continued. Neither are you. So if you do this, if you pursue anything more with her than friendship, you need to really think about whether you're looking to relive the past or give it a go with what exists now. Because honestly, reliving the past will not work.
Meg stared at the tabletop.
And, Sean continued, if she is still with Sharon, and she's pulling this flirting shit with you, it's not right. It's dishonest and manipulative. And if that's what she's doing, then you need to accept that Gina's not who you thought she was, and she's certainly not who you think she is.
She nodded, chagrined. I hate it when you're right, she muttered.
No, you don't. You hate it when I verbalize what you're already thinking.
Sean air-kissed her.
Well, there's that,
Meg exhaled, exasperated. Her expression softened.
I just want you to be happy. I know you love your work, and I know that your future plans for your vet self have you all excited. You have lots of cool shit going on in your life right now, she paused. I also know you're still in love with Gina.
I didn't say that.
Whatever. You have been all these years. Maybe it's a good thing that she showed up again, because it'll be your reality check. You'll either see some things you don't like and you'll move on, or you'll realize that you two are supposed to be together and it'll happen. Either way, trust your instincts and proceed with caution. I'll be there for you no matter what happens. How come you're so good to me? Because you helped me pass pharmacology.
Drugs for dogs, they both said at once. Meg smiled. Payback's a bitch, huh? Sean threw her crumpled napkin at her.
Because you're so cool. And no matter what happens, Ted and I will always have a rocking chair on our porch for you, right next to ours. We'll take turns getting the iced tea and Jack Daniels.
Oh, thank God. I was starting to worry about my old age.
Don't. Sean pushed away from the table. Let's bail.
They cleared their dishes at the bus tub before exiting onto the sidewalk outside. This part of Fort Collins was a funky historic area off downtown. They walked slowly, stopping to look into the windows of some of the shops. Other people were doing the same thing. A group of teenagers in skater shorts with spiky hair brushed past, eating ice cream cones.
So, have you made your plane reservations? Sean asked when they got to her Nissan.
No, Meg sighed.
Mary emailed me over the weekend and texted me on Monday for my itinerary. And you know what else is weird?
Sean waited.
Mary said it'd be fine for me to stay at Gina's folks' house with her. And Sharon's supposed to be visiting the weekend before I suggested going. That felt kind of weird staying there with her after her girlfriend was just there.
Sean regarded her.
That is complicated. Has Mary said anything to indicate that Gina and Sharon are still together?
She thought for a few moments.
No, she just said that Sharon was going to be there and that she was leaving that Tuesday before I'm supposed to go. Nothing like Sharon, Gina's main squeeze, is coming to get some?
She laughed in spite of her misgivings.
No, nothing like that. This is indeed a puzzle.
She leaned against her car.
And it causes me to ask once again why you haven't just flat out asked Gina.
I'm not sure. She kicked at a spot on the sidewalk.
She appraised her for a while. Maybe you don't want to know. Meg looked at her puzzled. Of course I do. Nuh-uh. And here's why. If you ask her and she says that yes, she and Sharon are still together, that's a major kick in the ass. No, it's not. I've already told you that I've made peace with that.
Sean looked at her like Meg had just told her she planned to go straight.
Have you? Can you honestly tell me, look me right in the eye, and tell me that you're fine with Gina being involved with Sharon?
She chewed her lip, but she couldn't meet Sean's gaze.
Damn it. That's a demon, sweets. And when you really need to take to lunch. Okay, so what if I ask her and she says that she's not with Sharon?
She shrugged.
What if? Are you ready for what that entails? Because maybe you're using the possibility that Sharon might still be in Gina's life as an excuse not to deal with the reality of your feelings for her.
How so?
If Sharon and Gina are together, you don't have to explore your feelings for her because they're not ever going to come up with her. You get to carry a big old torch around for the Gina of the past. But if Gina and Sharon aren't together, then you might have to actually address your feelings because from what you're telling me that she's doing, she's knocking on that door.
She groaned softly.
But what if she's knocking on my door and still with Sharon?
As much as she hated that thought, she had to consider it.
Then Gina's become kind of an asshole. Fuck, Meg said frustrated. I guess I need to ask her. It's not like you not to, she said simply. Though I know it's probably sort of weird, given that you haven't talked to her in so long, and you're not sure how to approach the topic.
Bingo. Meg smiled and shrugged.
Okay, I've got to get home. Mooney gets lonely. How is he?
The Medicam's helping. He seems to be doing all right. He's more relaxed and moving around better, but he's old. One day at a time with him.
You'll take good care of him no matter what happens. Let me know if he develops any side effects from the Medicam, though.
I just had a dog in with some GI distress, so I had to switch her to something else. All right, see you, Dr. Horsechick, and thank you for dinner.
Sean hugged her and moved to the driver's side of her car.
And you know that no matter what happens, I've got your back.
She winked at Meg.
Call me when you get back from the ranch. You're going up this weekend, right?
Yeah. I'm not leaving till Saturday morning, and I might not stay the night. I have a ton to do next week at work, and I want to go in on Sunday and do some prep.
Well, I want more gossip on the new intern and her fabulous girlfriend.
She blew Meg a kiss. Oh, of course, because that's what I do, keep you up on all things gay.
It's better than a reality show.
Yeah, yeah, thanks, Sean. Hi to Ted, she said as Sean got into her car. Meg watched her back up and they waved before she went to her truck, parked three cars over. She belted up and turned the radio on and sang along with Tracy Adkins as she drove north on College, which would become Highway 287. That would take her right on up to Laramie. She thought about what Sean had said. She was right, of course. So how come it still felt so good to have Gina in her life, even with the knowledge that she might be playing her? That seemed kind of fucked up. She slowed down through La Porte, admiring the emerging green of the fields. Agriculturally based, Port Collins and La Porte fronted the massive swath of the eastern Colorado plains and backed against the foothills of the Rockies to the west. Meg loved the expanse, loved both mountain and plain, knew she'd never feel at home anywhere else, regardless of how much she enjoyed traveling. She sighed, thinking about Gina again. She'd have to ask her what was going on and risk their emerging rapport. There was no way around it. She avoided a response to an email from Mary that evening. Gina had written the day before, and Meg still hadn't responded to that, nor had she made flight reservations, and she didn't want to deal with either Mary or Gina over those. She went out back with Moonshine, restless and irritated. The longer she put off the reservations, the more layers she piled on. Not only would she have to address Sharon with Gina, but she'd have to deal with Mary wondering why she hadn't made flight reservations yet. Meg had agreed to visit Gina. She'd agreed to fly out there. So she'd better just suck it up and go. Sharon be damned. If Gina was playing her, it'd be a shitty few days. Then they'd be over and she could get on with her life. Not like she'd never had shitty days before. She called Moonshine in and went back to her computer. Fine. She'd make the damn reservations. Besides, she could always cancel the flight if things got too weird. Like they're not already, she thought as she called up flight information. She started to make her selections, then stopped and clicked out of the window. She sat staring at the screen for a while until her cell phone rang. The caller ID registered a number she didn't recognize, but it was a California area code. She chose not to answer it, given the mood she was in, and she really didn't want to address the Sharon issue with Gina tonight, if that was her, and she felt weird talking to her and not addressing it. God, why did everything suddenly feel so fucked up? Meg groaned and leaned back in her chair. Her phone registered a voicemail. She opted not to check it just yet, and instead continued to stare at the ceiling. The situation was easy enough to clear up. All she had to do was call Gina or email her and ask what the deal was with Sharon. That was it. That was all she had to do. But she dreaded it, because if Gina admitted that Sharon was still in the picture, then what would Meg do with that? The fact that Gina was flirting with her while someone else was in her life. She didn't want that knowledge. Didn't want to think those things about her. So she kept putting it off, wanting to hold on to the past a little longer before she'd have to deal with the reality of the present. She leaned forward and picked her phone up to check the voicemail. The recording told her when the call was left and from what number. And then Gina's voice filled her ear and she groaned again and shut her eyes. Hey, Meg, I'm calling you on my new cell phone. Yay. Hope you add me to your contacts list. She paused. Listen, I've been thinking, Gina said, and she sounded kind of sad. Meg sat up straighter. I'm wondering if maybe all this craziness with me has sort of flipped you out a little. I'm wondering that because you haven't made flight reservations yet and, well, it's about 2 weeks to go. I mean, I get it if you're not in the right headspace to visit right now.
That's okay. I'm letting you off the hook, okay? Maybe later this summer you'll be more comfortable with the idea. We'll talk later about it if you want. I have to go to LA in the next few days to take care of some things, but if you want to talk, call me at this number. Take care. The message ended with a finality that left Meg's chest tight and put a hollow ache in her heart that she hadn't felt since the last time she'd seen Gina in person and watched her walk to her Pathfinder after that dinner in Fort Collins 5 years ago. Sean had met her then and said afterward that she understood why Meg had fallen for her. And Meg told herself not to watch Gina drive away, but she did, and it hurt almost as bad as when they'd said goodbye the first time. She entered the phone number into her contacts list and debated calling her back right then, just putting everything out on the table, like she normally would with situations like this. But she wasn't prepared to hear that Gina was still with Sharon, wasn't prepared to have hope blown out of the water like that. She did, however, send a quick text. "Hey, thanks for the number. Have to go to the ranch this weekend. Call you next week?" She sent it, then touched her cheek, a little surprised at her tears, and wondered if she cried for the past or the present. Chapter 20. Monday passed in a blur, and Meg wished she was back at the ranch, where at least she could go for a ride and dispel, at least temporarily, the anxiety that kept knotting the muscles in her shoulders and killing her appetite. Today she'd had two serious emergencies to deal with. One didn't end well. The other kept her busy for a few hours and backed up a few of her appointments. She talked herself out of calling either Gina or Mary because she was exhausted by the time she got home. Tuesday morning she spent on rounds and the afternoon busy with appointments. She put Haley to work with one of the techs after her last appointment and went to check the next day's calendar at the front desk. Ginny was entering information into the computer, and Sandra had just left for the day. Meg appreciated it when the last clients were gone after a long day. "Everything okay?" Ginny asked as Meg reached for the clipboard on the workspace nearby. "For the most part. Can you print out a copy of my appointments for tomorrow?"
"Already did. It's on the clipboard."
"Thanks." Meg looked at it. Her first was at 8, which didn't guarantee much, since they opened at 7. If she hadn't been such a coward, she would have been flying to California in a week.
"You want any time off next week?"
Meg glanced over at Ginny, wondering if she'd said something aloud. She shook her head and Ginny gave her a schoolmarm look that quickly softened.
"What's going on?" she asked.
"Nothing." Meg tried to focus on her schedule, literally.
"So you're not going to Sacramento?"
"I don't think so." Ginny turned her chair so that she was facing her.
"Is it time for a beer?"
she half laughed.
"Maybe." "What about right now?"
Meg smiled. "Sure. Let me finish some stuff up. Where?"
Ginny gave her a measured look. "Comfort food, too. Grand Avenue."
"I think I love you," Meg said, and Ginny laughed.
"I won't tell. See you there in about 30 minutes.
Meg nodded and put the clipboard down. She went to her office and retrieved her satchel and went out the back. She swung by the house to feed Moonshine, and by the time she got to Grand Avenue, Ginny already had a table. She'd changed into jeans and t-shirt before she'd arrived. Meg ordered a beer when the server left it and moved away. Ginny gave her the schoolmarm look again. Meg sighed, resigned.
"Here's a nutshell. I'm pretty sure Gina is still involved with someone, but she's been flirting with me, and I'm having a hard time reconciling the past with that."
Ginny tisked and sipped her own beer.
"Have you talked to her about it?"
"No. I don't think I want to lose the image I had of Gina. I'm not ready."
"Hope's a funny thing.
It's a rat bastard is what it is." Meg picked up her glass and studied it as if it was a rare find.
"I thought she really wanted to see you."
"So she said."
Ginny shrugged. "She probably does, for whatever reasons."
She set her own glass on the table.
"You need to talk to her."
"I know."
"Even if she's got two of you on the line, you haven't drawn your boundary, and she's probably wondering why you aren't going to visit."
Meg sipped and stared at the table.
"Yeah."
The server returned, but maybe she saw something in Meg's expression because she said,
"Oh, if you're not ready to order, I can come back. Just wave me down."
"No, it's all right,"
Ginny smiled. To Meg, she said,
"I'm ordering."
"Sure."
Meg gestured at the menu.
large pepperoni and olive.
Excellent. We'll have it up in about 15 minutes.
She moved away and Ginny sat back and studied Meg for a few moments.
Does she know how you feel about her?
No.
Then maybe you should tell her.
Meg shook her head and took another drink. It's not fair to her girlfriend. Ginny raised her eyebrows.
It's not about that.
It's about being honest as to why you don't want to visit her.
You feel strange about it, therefore you don't think a visit is a good idea.
She picked up her glass.
At this time.
Meg chuckled.
At no time.
Never say never.
She started to reply when Haley walked over.
Hey, Doc. Hey, Ginny.
Hi, Meg said. So I'm guessing you're indulging once again in the staple of college diets everywhere. She grinned.
Yeah, I guess I am. I'm waiting on Beth and a couple other friends.
She motioned with her head toward the front of the restaurant, at a table where three other college-aged people sat. Ginny's phone buzzed and she looked at it.
Trent, let me see what he wants for dinner.
She got up and gestured for Haley to sit down.
Tell Meg about how you and Beth met.
Haley looked at her puzzled.
I don't think Doc wants...
I think she will,
Ginny said as she moved toward the front. Haley looked at Meg, who shrugged.
Well, it must be a good story if Ginny wants me to hear it. Have a seat.
Okay, not much to tell, she said as she sat down to Meg's right. We met in an English class. I think I told you that part.
She cleared her throat and grinned sheepishly.
I had a huge crush on her, but she was always hanging out with this other chick from the art department. I thought they were together, so I just had unrequited love, you know.
So how exactly did you meet then?
We had to work on a project together. Me, Beth, a couple of other guys, and the other art chick. It was the best and worst thing ever, because I felt like such an idiot around her.
Meg took a sip of beer. I know that feeling. Haley relaxed.
Well, I'm not very good at talking to people in general, but when you have a crush on someone,
she trailed off,
it's so much worse, especially for me. And that's a whole other story. Anyway, Beth was really nice to me, which made everything great but terrible.
Meg laughed. Been there. She was there right now. She set her beer down.
So the semester was ending and it sucked because I wasn't sure if I'd get to see her again, different majors and all.
But you must have had her phone number from the class project.
Oh yeah, but I didn't know what I could call her for. I didn't have an excuse like homework, you know.
Okay, now I'm wondering how the hell you two managed to pull this off. Haley smiled.
Right? One of my friends kept telling me to just ask her out, and I kept saying how weird that would be because of the art chick.
Ginny returned and sat down.
Haley was caught in one of the worst crushes I've ever seen.
Haley flushed and glanced at the table.
Lord, she called me one night asking for advice.
What'd you tell her? Meg asked.
To call Beth and ask her if she wanted to get some coffee between classes sometime.
Oh, like that wouldn't be obvious,
Haley said with an eye roll, but she was smiling. Ginny smiled back.
Bull by the horns, hon. The worst that could happen was she would say no.
That's pretty bad, though, Haley said.
I'd have to agree, Ginny. Meg took another sip of beer. That was a huge letdown when someone turned you down for something as simple as coffee.
But there was also a 50% chance that she'd say yes. Pretty good odds in Vegas.
Ginny gave both of them a raised eyebrow.
Not if Beth was dating the art chick, Meg pointed out. Then the odds go down.
Haley thought she was dating the art chick, so in her mind, the odds were bad. That's what she told me. So I told her to invite Beth out with a group of friends for pizza, or to a party or something comparable.
Oh, that's good, Meg said. The group of friends is camouflage. So did you do it?
She looked at Haley.
Well, hi.
Beth came up behind Haley and leaned down to peck her on the cheek.
Hi, Ginny, Dr. Talmadge.
She wore jeans and a button-down short-sleeve blue shirt and a feminine cut.
Hey, Haley said as she squeezed Beth's hand. I'll be right there. Sorry to interrupt, Beth said. Just wanted to say hi.
It's fine, Ginny smiled. Meg wanted to know how you and Haley met.
Meg shot Ginny a look but nodded.
I did. Beth laughed.
How far in the story are you?
It's after the semester in English, and Haley is trying to figure out how to call you without making it seem like she's calling you.
Ginny gave Haley an encouraging smile.
Can I interject?
Beth looked down at Haley.
Yes, save me. I thought Haley was super cute. I still think that, actually.
Haley flushed again and slipped down a little in her seat.
And she was always polite and nice during class. At first, I thought maybe she might be interested, but she's pretty good at hiding her feelings. So I let that thought go, though it was fun being in class with her and working on the class project together. You might not realize it, Dr. Talmadge, but Haley's really funny once you get to know her.
Oh, geez, Haley muttered.
She cleared her throat. Meg smiled. I figured, the quiet ones usually are. Haley muttered something else that Meg didn't catch.
Anyway, Beth continued. After that class, we'd see each other around on campus and sometimes off campus. And Haley would always say hi and ask how things were going with me. Like I said, she's always polite. I figured she had her own thing going on, because I didn't have any inclination that she was interested in a date or anything like that. I probably should have followed up.
She squeezed Haley's shoulder.
And then one day, I got this phone call.
She looked down at Haley in a way that made Meg think about the first week she'd spent with Gina.
Not a text or email, a phone call. I think Haley was surprised that I answered.
Oh my God, I totally was. I didn't expect her to. It seems most people just let it go to voicemail or they text back or something.
So I answered, and it took a minute or two, but Haley asked if I would like to go to coffee with her. I was trying to say yes, but she had a whole lot of other stuff on her mind and kept talking. She said that she understood if I couldn't, or had something else to do, or was seeing someone else, and that was fine, and maybe I'd have coffee with her later on down the line.
She smiled at Haley again.
Down the line. That's the phrase she used.
I don't even remember what all I said, Haley laughed. I'm sure it was totally incoherent.
It wasn't. And I said I would love to have coffee with you, Haley.
And I didn't know what to say to that.
So I asked her if the next day would work.
Oh my God, I couldn't even talk,
Beth laughed.
She couldn't.
So I said if her schedule was okay, I'd meet her at 5 at Coal Creek.
I said yes. I do remember that. And then I couldn't sleep.
Meg grinned. She'd been there too.
And as soon as Haley sat down at my table at Coal Creek, I told her I was really glad she called because I thought she was really cute. And I'd been wanting to get to know her better, which, of course, tongue-tied her even more.
But that pretty much broke the ice, Haley said. I think I did okay after that.
Beth touched her cheek.
Much better than okay.
She looked at Meg and Ginny.
There you have it. The Grand Laramie love story.
Thanks. Meg lifted her glass in a toast. To both of you.
Sure. Good to see you both,
she said to Ginny and Meg. To Haley, she said,
I'll see you over there.
She motioned toward the table near the front that had added another college-aged guy.
Okay.
Haley gave her hand a final squeeze before Beth walked away.
I was pretty shocked when she said yes.
Meg smiled. So what made you finally decide to call? Haley didn't respond for a few moments. She stared at the tabletop and then looked up at Meg again.
For some reason, that day I called Beth. I've been thinking about something I heard my mom tell my sister a while back, and it really hit me. She told my sister that something she always regretted was that she hadn't told my dad she loved him the day he died. She usually did, but she didn't get a chance that day. I decided I'd better just call Beth. And even if she said no, at least I wouldn't regret not saying anything.
She stood, leaned over to give Ginny a half hug.
See everybody tomorrow?
Same time, same place. Thanks for the story, Meg said, enjoying this more relaxed version of Haley. Have a good evening, love. Ginny watched Haley walk over to the table where her friends were, then moved her glass as a server approached with their pizza.
Here you go. Extra napkins, too.
She set the tray on a wire stand and placed two plates and forks next to Ginny.
Care for another beer?
Yes. Ginny looked over at Meg. Two more.
Great. Be right back.
Ginny set to work serving pizza. So how is it you know exactly how to smack me upside the head so well? Meg asked as she took the plate Ginny handed to her. Blind luck, she winked at her. Good lesson. So how's Trent? He'll be on the road again in a couple of days. How long? A month. Let me know if you need a girl's night out while he's out trucking around. Meg bit into the pizza and realized she was hungrier than she thought. I will, and you let me know when you'd like your calendar cleared. Meg smiled and took another bite. Chapter 21. When Meg got home, she let Moonshine out back and stood in the doorway, trying to draw support from the dark. After a bit, she pulled her phone out of its holder at her belt. Her stomach clenched and her heart pounded, mostly from anxiety. She had programmed a 2-digit code for Gina, so she pressed it and waited, trying to calm herself. She was bumped immediately to voicemail, which caught her off guard.
Hey, she said, mind racing. It's Meg. Listen, I've had a few things on my mind, and I'm sorry if I've been coming across like an asshole or something. I'd really like to talk to you, so let me know when you have a chance. Hope you're healing up okay. Catch you soon, hopefully.
She ended the call and took a deep breath. There, she did it. She'd called. She sagged against the door jamb. Sean had texted her several times that day about putting off the call, so she texted back and let her know she'd called and left a message. The ball was now in Gina's court. That made Meg relax a little. Her phone rang, which sent another tide of anxiety through her chest and stomach. Damn it. Gina was passing the ball right back. She looked at the screen. Fuck, she said softly, seeing Mary's name in the caller ID window. She stifled an urge to throw her phone into the next yard, took a deep breath, and answered.
Hey, Mary, what's up?
Well, Meg, I might ask the same of you,
Mary said brusque. She winced.
What's going on? Gina mentioned that you hadn't sent her an itinerary, which clearly means you haven't bought a ticket yet.
Look, I'm sorry. I'm not sure it's a good idea after all.
Silence. Meg bit her lip.
I'm just going to be blunt, Mary said after a few more excruciating seconds. I don't know what you're doing or why you seem to be pulling back, but please, for Gina's sake, don't fuck with her emotions like this, Meg. Don't do this on-again, off-again crap. She's vulnerable, especially when it comes to you.
Hold on. What the hell does that mean?
She stalked onto the patio.
What do you think it means? Mary snapped back. She still has feelings for you, and you're dicking her around.
A roaring filled Meg's ears.
Feelings? What are you talking about? Does Sharon know? Sharon? What does she have to do with this? Well, I think she'd want to know that her girlfriend has feelings for somebody else.
Meg tried to control her sarcasm, but from how the statement sounded to her own ears, she knew she hadn't.
Girlfriend?
And then realization dawned in Mary's voice.
Oh, fuck. Meg, they broke up last year, October.
Broke up?
Yes. Gina sent you an email that apparently you didn't get.
Broke up,
Meg repeated softly. Another silence until Mary said,
Well, this is awkward.
Meg smiled in spite of it.
A little, yeah.
Gina said you never responded to her about it. She figured you didn't want to talk about it.
She sank down into one of her plastic patio chairs and rubbed her forehead.
Email? I never got an email from her in October. And then she mentioned Sharon at Christmas. She said Sharon got a job stateside. I figured that's why Gina wanted to apply for a job in the States. I thought she wanted to follow her.
No, she didn't. She's not with her or anybody at the moment. Though she and Sharon are still friends. Gina told me she mentioned the job thing to see if you'd take the bait and talk to her about the breakup. You didn't.
What bait? I thought they were still together.
A mixture of relief, confusion, hope, and other assorted emotions she couldn't identify bounced through her heart.
Fuck,
Mary said again after a long pause.
So you've been thinking that Gina was still with Sharon this whole time?
Yes.
And she realized how stupid she'd been, and how she should have just asked Gina about it earlier. She started mentally kicking herself hard.
Didn't you think it was weird that nobody talked about her in that context?
Yes, actually, I did. I couldn't figure it out. And I felt even weirder about asking Gina about it. But I decided I had to because I didn't want to think that Gina was...
Was what?
Well, flirting with me when she was involved with Sharon. That's not the Gina I knew, and it freaked me out. You have no idea how much it freaked me out.
Mary laughed.
She's flirting with you already?
Well, in that subtle Gina way. You know, I mean, I hope you don't know since you're her sister.
She stopped, flustered.
Shit, maybe she's not. Maybe I'm just...
Damn, maybe I should worry about you,
Mary said, still laughing.
I know how Gina gets around you. I saw it when you two were together. So she's flirting with you already. Has she said anything else?
No, yes.
Meg ran a hand through her hair.
Sort of. She said she wants to reconnect, that she's missed me, and she wants to deal with the past, and she wants to be friends and see each other a little more.
And I just totally let the cat out of the bag,
Mary said with another laugh.
But it's true. She still has feelings for you, but she didn't want to tell you right away. She wanted to see what would happen when she saw you in person, see if there was still something there.
Meg started to say something in response when Mary interrupted.
Hey, I'm really sorry, Meg. I didn't mean to put you on the spot. And I am so sorry that you didn't know. That had to be stressful.
Yes, it was, and it's okay. I was being kind of an asshole because I hadn't called.
and I wasn't sure how to deal with this. I'm actually glad we had this conversation. You have no idea. I am so relieved.
To know that Gina's not a slut?
Mary giggled wickedly, and it helped diffuse the rest of the tension from the conversation's start.
I wouldn't put it that way. It was just, shit, I don't know. Maybe she got into some bad wine over there or something and it fucked her up. I couldn't figure it out.
Bad wine? Oh my God, girl, you crack me up.
She dissolved into shrieks of laughter. She relaxed more, smiling wider. Gina was single.
Bad wine, Mary hooted. I have to tell Mom that.
Your mom? She knows that Gina's still...
Well, yeah. Come on, Meg. We're loud. We're Italian. We're in everybody's business. Hello.
Great, she murmured, embarrassed.
Would you stop? Mom's always liked you. She especially likes how you're able to go with the flow when you're around us, even though we're so totally different than what you're used to. It takes a strong woman to face the Morellis, after all. Speaking of, do you think now you'll come to visit?
Yes. Next weekend's still okay?
If that's cool with you. Or wait a week if you want to save some money on plane fare.
I'll see what the rates are, and I'll check in with Gina, see what works for her.
Probably a good idea. She's back and forth to LA. She might want you to fly in there.
I thought she was taking time off from work.
She is, kind of. I think she's going stir crazy with our folks. Good thing she still has that apartment in LA.
She does?
Yeah. But right now, she's not sure what she's doing or what she wants to do. I'm sure you two will have lots of interesting conversations about that,
she said in a teasing tone. Meg ignored the jibe. I'll call her and find out if next week still works.
Okay. And I'm sorry I called and piled on you like that.
It's all good, she smiled. Sorry I've been a jerk.
Hey, it's not me you need to say that to, but I do feel better.
Same here. Take it easy.
Yep. Bye.
She hung up and Meg stood, thoughts pinballing through her head. She called Moonshine and he appeared in the doorway. At some point, he'd already gone inside. He looked at her like she was nuts.
Sorry, buddy. Thought you were still out here.